Proverbs chapter 17, tonight reading verse 4 and 5. We covered the first three verses last week. I'm just going to title the message, take the title from the middle of verse 5, and I'm just going to title it, Glad at Calamities. And there's much more here. But notice as we begin reading in verse 4, he says here, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Verse 5, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Father, we do thank thee for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the privilege again to assemble together. Lord, we ask your blessings to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture tonight. And Lord, as we come to these two verses this evening, we pray, Lord, that you'll teach us, and we pray, Lord, that we'll be obedient to thy word. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, taking the title from verse 5, what I'm doing is especially we cover more than one verse, as like last week, I'm just taking a title from one of the verses, and we're going to title this Glad at Calamities in verse 5. Now, notice coming back to verse 4, we have two clauses in this verse that describe two phases of mutual evil, as one other writer put it. He says here in verse 4, he said, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And then he says, a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Well, we find here that both wicked doers and liars take pleasure in the evil that they do. And I give you just a few verses. You could write down Psalms chapter 15 and verse 3, just looking at, first of all, the wicked doer. He said in verse 4, the wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And in Psalm chapter 15, we sing this psalm, and it's speaking of who shall abide in the tabernacle, in God's tabernacle, and who shall dwell in his holy hill. But verse 3 speaks of the one, and he says, and he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. And so, again, you can write down John chapter 3. I'll not have you to turn. We'll turn to a few passages in a moment. But in John chapter 3, we have in verse 20, John chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, and I'll read verse 20 and 21 together. He said, everyone that doeth evil, and that's what we're talking about here in our text, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And in other words, they will follow other wicked ones. Those that are wicked will follow other wicked doers. And so in John chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And in verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the first clause here, the first statement in verse 4 is that a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Again, he's going to, we got the subject of lying in this passage as well, and we'll spend just a little bit more time on that, but the wicked doer, again, they will follow other wicked doers. And 2 Samuel 13:3, it's just been a matter of weeks ago, Amnon gave heed to false lips of a friend. In other words, his friend gave him some horrible advice that ended up costing him his life. Many of the Jews who did not love God in the Old Testament, and not all of them, God always has his remnant then and now, but many of the Jews who did not love God and his word, they listened to the false prophets, and so they listened to the wrong thing. Then in 1 Corinthians 13:6 tells us that charity rejoices not in iniquity. So in the first clause here says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And just let us remember that. The wicked doers are going to follow other wicked doers and listen to them. And that will be the kind of friends that they will gather, you know, around them. As we as Christians, we try to gather Christian friends around us, because we want someone that will, that we can talk to and fellowship with, and someone that will help us, encourage us, and sharpen us, and so forth. Now, notice the latter clause of this, and again, both of these are just two phrases of mutual evil. He says here in the latter part of it, he says, a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Now, again, many places that we see in the scriptures about lying. In chapter 6, if you'll back up, we've turned back to this a few times, and we preached one whole message from this text. But notice as we come back to chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, and a liar, according to our text in chapter 17, is always ready to believe a lie. Again, the wicked will hang out with the wicked. They'll listen to the wicked. They'll follow their wicked deeds. A liar will also believe a lie. And many liars will believe their own lie. They'll lie so much that they'll believe their own lie, but eventually they will be punished according to the scriptures. So we're commanded clearly in scripture to refrain from lying. And I'll give you a passage in the New Testament you'll be familiar with. I was telling someone the other day, talking about this subject, and I said there's a tongues movement today. There's lying tongues. And that's a movement across our land, is it not? In chapter 6, you'll notice in verse 16, said, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, and notice a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness. Here we are again. A false. So we have the lying tongue. And then in verse 19, we have a false witness that speaketh lies. But we also have, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And also he mentions the discord, sowing discord in verse 14 of this passage. Look at it again in chapter 11. In chapter 11 and in verse 9. He says here in this passage, then we're going to go to chapter 11, verse 9, and I believe verse 13. Yes, verse 9, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. So again, we have a lying tongue here. A hypocrite destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. In chapter 11, verse 13, notice here. In chapter 11, verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Notice as we come to the New Testament and Colossians chapter 3, in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And so we don't really think about this much sometimes. Many people don't, but lying is a grievous sin against God and also against humanity, against others. And again, we have this command given to us in the scripture. Most in our society think it's okay to lie. I was just talking to one of you this just Sunday, was it, Sister Joanna? It was about people talk about white lies. Well, a lie is a lie. You know, and God has commanded us not to lie. There's more said in the Bible about the abuse of the tongue than there is the abuse of alcohol. So that's why this is really, really very important. We talk about the drunks and, you know, and very little about lying. We know that in John 8, if you want to write this down in verse 44 and 45, and I won't turn there and read because I think I'm going to take that text Sunday in a message I want to preach. But we find that Satan is a liar and the father of it, the originator of it. So those who are perpetual liars, their father is the devil. That's what he actually tells those he's talking to. He's speaking of discipleship, and he said twice And I won't quote it verbatim, but twice in verse 32 and 36, the Son shall make you free. And they kept coming back and said, we've never been in bondage, and we're Abraham's seed. And he says, but you set out to kill me. In other words, you want to destroy me, the Son of God. And he said, you're of your father, the devil. And so that's where lying comes from. And also in Revelation 21:8 and verse 27 of that passage, and Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15, the liar ultimately ends up in hell. That ought to be enough to keep somebody from lying. They ultimately end up in eternal judgment. So this is, and actually, I've always thought it interesting that when he's listing, giving a list of sins in these passages, horrible sins, that lying's put right in there, you know, with them. So notice, as we come here to the book of Colossians in chapter 3, one writer put it this way. He said, the tattler ought to be hung by the tongue and the listener by the ear. That's pretty good, isn't it? Notice as we, Colossians chapter 3, and what I want to do, let's start in verse 5 and read down to about verse 10 before we go back to our text. He says here in verse 5, and this is written to the church, written to the Christian, and helping us and dealing with sin. He said, mortify, that is, put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that is mainly evil desires. He says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Verse 7, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Here's the verse I'm after, but I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So he clearly commands us in this passage that we're to lie not one to another. We're always to speak the truth. And he says, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 that all men are liars. By nature, we, you know, are liars. But after we're converted, we are to put away lying and put on the new man in verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now let's go back to our text and pick up now in verse 5. As we come back here to verse 5. And this verse also has two clauses in it as well. And one of mocking the poor, and the other taking delight in the calamities of others. And both of these are evil as well. He said in verse 5, he said, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker. Now, there's many other verses like this. I'll give you a few. But that's a sobering statement, isn't it? Whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker. Then the second part of this is that he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. In other words, they will not be innocent. They will be punished. First of all, let's just look at the passage here about mocking the poor. And one writer, with these two statements that's made here, one writer put it this way, and covering both of these, mocking the poor and being glad at calamities. And he said, when a man is not only indifferent to the miseries of others, but can actually find gladness, he is of his father, the devil. And that's a good way to put it here, because these two clauses, again, of mocking the poor and taking delight in the calamities of other people, both of these are very evil in God's sight. The Lord Jesus said in John 12:8, you shall always have the poor with you. He says, for the poor always ye have with you. And that's in the context of where that he's being anointed there and speaking to his disciples. James 1:9 says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, low degree. Notice here in Proverbs, I'm going to be turning to chapter 14. Chapter 14, let's first of all address the subject of mocking the poor. In other words, he who mocks the poor in his poverty provokes his Creator to anger. And now, notice as we come to chapter 14, reading verses 20 and 21. It says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Verse 21, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Turn with me also to verse 31 in chapter 14, and very similar to chapter 17, chapter 14, 31. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. In other words, the one that honors God will have mercy upon the poor. Notice with me in chapter 22. In chapter 22, and I'll read two verses. We come across this a number of times in Proverbs. But notice in chapter 22, I'm going to be reading, first of all, in verse 2. Chapter 22 and verse 2. And he said, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Now notice with me as we come down to verse 16. Think about that. The Lord is the maker of all. And I want to read another quote and reference to this. And the writer said, the poor is poor by providence, not fortune. So the sin is against the maker and not the poor. When we mock the poor, we're mocking God. And they are a lot of people that's poor by providence and not force, not by chance or by luck or things like that. And he said, the poor will always be with you. So in verse 16, and again, when we come to these, we'll make comments on them, and you can write down chapter 29, verses 7, and also in verse 14. But he said in verse 16 of chapter 22, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. In other words, he's going to lack. I want to read a familiar passage also in the New Testament. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 2. In the book of James in chapter 2, I think this chapter sums it up, is dealing with faith without works is dead, is the context of at least half of this chapter. But notice as we come to James chapter 2, I want you to see here in this passage, to treat the poor with indifference as to show respect to persons, and it is ultimately breaking or violating what is called the royal law or the law of liberty in the New Testament. And if you're taking notes, Romans chapter 12, we were in Romans chapter 12 Sunday morning, and just looking at, gifts, but in Romans 12, verse 16, says, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. And we actually read, I think, verse 13. We didn't read verse 16. Sunday morning, but in verse 13 said, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. And also in chapter 15 in verse 26, I'm just going to give you the one verse, but the context is taking up funds from Gentile churches for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And verse 26 says, for it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. That's in the first century as this letter was being written. Now notice in the book of James, and then I'm going to come back and talk about this thing about calamity, which is the title of the message tonight. But notice as we read from James chapter 2, and he says here, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read down to verse 9, and then maybe pick up just one or two other verses. But just notice the wording as we read through this. It'll help us as we think of people and especially think of the poor. He says, beginning in verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, in other words, probably dirty raiment. He said in verse 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are becoming judges of evil thoughts? Now think about these wordings, becoming judges of evil thoughts. And he said in verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? And he said in verse 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Now here's the next two verses. Verse 8 and 9, he said, and if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, think about that, the royal law. I had to write an article on that some years ago and preach on that. And it's the law of liberty of chapter 1 and verse 25, and also chapter 2, verse 12, that royal law. He said, are we under law today? We're under the royal law, the law of Christ. He's our Lord and Savior. He said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is including the poor. He said, ye do well. In verse 9, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And I want to take verse 15 through 17. Notice in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, this kind of faith is a dead faith, you know, because there's no fruit or good works that is produced by it. Now let's go back and pick up the last part of this. We'll read this one more time, then you can turn loose of it. And by the way, I think about this also. I made mention to you, this just come to my mind, you don't have to turn there, but I made mention to you and I read, I believe I read it or at least mentioned it, in our sermon Sunday morning, I made mention of Matthew 25, verse 31 through about verse 40, the characteristics of the righteous. You remember, it was talking about visiting the sick, those in prison, clothing those that are naked, feeding those that are hungry, and giving drink to those that are thirsty. The opposite of that begins in verse 41. where he says, then shall he say also, and again, this is separation of the sheep and goats. I always point the wrong way. But anyway, it's separation of the sheep and goats. And he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He said, I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Of course, they say, when did we see you? And of course, he's talking about his people. He's talking about people on earth. And he closes this, and he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we see the characteristics of the sheep on one hand and the goats. Now notice with me as we come back and read this. Now have a number of other scripture. I don't know that we'll turn to all of them, but notice the let's read it all. He said, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Now here's the second clause, and he says, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. He that is glad at calamities, that is pleased to see or to hear of the misfortune of others. And he shall not be unpunished. In other words, he will not be innocent. God will judge in due time heavy retribution. Now, I don't really know where to go. There's several thoughts about this. But one is, if you read, I'll just give you a few of these. Job 31, verse 29 and 30. It's Job's vindication of his integrity. And he's saying, I'm not guilty of either one of these in the passage we're reading here. So that's a good passage on this. But also notice in chapter 24, you can turn loose of chapter 17. Notice in chapter 24, I want to read two verses. Now this is something else we really got to think about. And we got to think about, when things happen to those that we may not like, may even be our enemy, we need to be careful how we think about it. And we need to leave God on the throne, and we need to humbly submit ourselves and just pray, to the Lord. And I'm going to give you a couple examples. One is the Jews. We know, and not all Jews, but in the first century, the Jewish nation, Israel, we know that they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of them took joy in him being crucified. Well, you know what happened to the nation. Also, many of the Jews, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, 15, and 16, they rejoiced when Christians were persecuted by Nero, and you know what? In time, they were destroyed by Rome, the same government. So this is something that we must be very careful about. In Acts 8, verse 1 and 2, we read this a few weeks ago dealing with Paul, the persecutor. The church was being scattered through persecution, and many took joy in that, seeing the Christian being persecuted. Even David, the warrior, did not take great joy when Saul was killed, his enemy. Was his enemy. Saul tried to kill him more than once, and he mourned whenever Saul. And David's already anointed. I don't know how many years, but he's already anointed and going to be the next king. But he still did not rejoice over Saul being killed in battle. And notice in chapter 24, and I'm reading in chapter 24, verses 17 and 18. And it says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So we've really, even with our enemies, we've got to keep our hearts always in check and keep it humble. Now, there's a few other passages. I want you to turn with me. Turn with me to Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, and we'll be reading in chapter 26, in Ezekiel chapter 26. Another really good passage is Obadiah, it's just one chapter, 10 through 16. And also Psalms 137, verse 7. And those tie together with Edom. The Edomites rejoiced when the Jews were taken captive to Babylon. They rejoiced in it. And they even helped Nebuchadnezzar. And they took of the spoil and all of that. Well, God passed judgment upon them. And he said, this is why. Because they had trouble out of them. When they came out of Egypt, they were persecuting Israel. But when we read through Obadiah, just a short, and we've taught through that book in a verse-by-verse setting, and he calls the judgment that came upon them the day of the Lord. In other words, the Lord judged them because they took pleasure in Israel's fall, God's covenant people, when they were carried into captivity. So there's some lessons here that you know, we've just got to be careful with our hearts. We can thank God for safety, and we can thank God for a lot of things, but we are not to take pleasure in things like this. But notice here, and we may close here in this passage, and well, I think I want to close in Matthew 5. But notice, I'm going to pick up the reading. Just keep this short here. I'm going to pick up the reading in Ezekiel 26, verses 2 through 6, I believe. And he said here, Son of man, because of Tyrus hath said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations, notice that, cause many nations, one of those is Nebuchadnezzar, and the other one, at least one of the others, Alexander the Great. But he said, will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Now remember that. She's going to be made like the top of a rock. And verse 5, and it shall be a place for the spreading of nets. In other words, as fishermen would dry their nets, a place where they can dry nets. In the midst of the sea, and he said, For I have spoken it, saith the Lord, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And then in the next verse, verse 7, he said, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And I'll stop reading there, but we find that Nebuchadnezzar came against them. Now, when I preached the three messages, I guess a few years ago, the Bible in science, and the Bible in history, and the Bible in archaeology, I dealt with this, and I want to read this, and this is, most of it's actually a quote. Of course, Tyrus was a Mediterranean seacoast city located in Phoenicia, but it says in here, and I don't think I read all of it, but in the prophecy here, the prophecy was that Tyrus's stones, timber, and soil, now I'm quoting from somebody else, would be cast into the sea and made like a flat rock, a place where fishing nets would be spread upon and never to be built again. Well, 3 years after the prophecy was given, Nebuchadnezzar had laid a 13-year siege on mainland Tyrus. When he finally entered the city, he found that most of the people had moved to an island a half a mile off the coast, and they had fortified a city on this island with powerful walls reaching to the very edge of the sea. Over 200 years later, Alexander the Great laid siege to the island city of Tyrus. He demolished the old city of Tyrus and cast the debris into the sea, and with it built a 200-foot-wide causeway out to the island. His army crossed the bridge and destroyed the island city. And Tyrus has not been rebuilt. And today, both the original city and the island city are bare rocks where fishermen can be seen drying their nets. You can believe this book.
Amen.
Amen. So let's close in Matthew chapter 5. In the book of Matthew in chapter 5, notice here. In Matthew chapter 5, here's, I believe, that the heart and attitude that we are to have. I want to read two or three verses. Notice verse 44. Read verse 44. And he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And I should never read that verse that fast. I should take 5 minutes to read that verse, whether it be my devotion or preaching. But then he said, "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." And he goes on to show that, let me just read it. "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect," that is to be mature in the faith, "be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." One other verse. Come back with me to chapter 5 this time, and we will be reading verse 7. Notice with me in verse 7. He says here, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain," that is, find mercy. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. Thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you for these scriptures that we've looked at tonight. These are safeguards that you've given to us, Lord, that we will, that our hearts will just be right. And Lord, that we'll be pleasing to thee and not be in violation of thy word. We thank you for this time together. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.